All right, let's get into God's Word this morning. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to read a passage there. We're going to start kind of a two-week series this morning. It's going to be good. Look at your neighbor and tell them it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Yeah.
How many of you know anything that clarifies Scripture, that connects with us in our lives, that gets us closer to the Lord, is always going to be good? No amens. Let me retry that again. How many of you know that anything from Scripture that connects to our lives, gets us closer to God, clarifies truth for us, and helps us to grow, is going to be good?
Amen.
How hard is that? My gosh. All righty. So we're going to read a passage very quickly here in 2 Timothy 1. It'll be our launching point to a two-week series that I'm entitling, What's in Your Hand? What's in your hand? Okay? Let's begin reading with verse 8, 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9 is the verse I want to key in on. Who has saved us. He's talking about Jesus. Who has saved us and called us with a what kind of calling? Holy calling. Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. I don't need to talk about grace. We had just that beautiful music number by New Creation. And grace which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. How many of you were around before time began? How many of you know that you were in God's mind far long before the worlds were ever made? Huh? When did he call you? Did he call you when you went to your profession? When did he call you? When you were born? No, it says before time began. That's when the Lord called you. That's when the Lord, in his mind, he saved you and called you with a holy calling and gave you a purpose. All right? I want to key in on two words here this morning. The words calling and the word purpose. Say them with me. Calling, purpose. Again, say it. Calling, purpose. Now, I'm going to seek to bring clarification to those two, because often when we read Bible concepts, they sound good. We look at the Scripture in a way that it sounds poetic. It's great, but if I was to ask you, what is your calling or what is your purpose, many of us will kind of blend those two together and think that those are one and the same. Those are not one and the same. Calling is not purpose, and purpose is not calling. Okay? Now, so what do you mean, Pastor Joe? Well, that's what we're going to look at. Do we have Ecclesiastes 3:11 up out of the Amplified Version? Let's read this. I had Miss Laura, thank you, Miss Laura, for doing this, put this up so that we can all read it. Notice God, verse 11, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He also planted eternity, notice carefully, a sense of divine what? God planted eternity, and it defines eternity, a sense of divine purpose. Where? In the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, grasp what God has done, his overall plan from the beginning to the end. Wow. Pretty loaded Scripture, huh? But notice one little phrase there that I want you to take note of. He, God, also planted eternity, that is, in brackets defined further, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart. What has God planted in the human heart?
Purpose.
Purpose. Okay, so this is how we're going to define purpose. Remember, he says we are called with a holy calling by his purpose. So what is purpose? Purpose is God putting something in your heart. Isn't that where it says purpose comes from? Right? Purpose comes from the heart. And notice it defines it as a mysterious longing. A mysterious longing. You know one thing about purpose, church family, if you're taking down notes, I know some of you are great note takers, God bless you, is that purpose, listen carefully to this, you won't have to chase your purpose will actually captivate your attention, will captivate your desires, will captivate your longings. You'll never have to chase purpose. The purpose, the individual purpose that God has planted in your heart, your longings, your desires that are good and God-glorifying purpose for your life that reside in your heart, you will never have to chase it because you will be captivated by it. Think about that. Who loves to worship God in song?
Man.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you are gifted to worship God in song? Some of you, you love your little worshipful songbirds for Jesus. You sing to the Lord. You know, I sing to the Lord, but I'm the guy that makes the joyful noise. You're probably the person that makes beautiful melody in the ears of God. Right? Some of you have the purpose to sing like new creation sang. That's your purpose. You love it. You're always game for those Friday night sing-alongs. For me, if we had a revival, I'd be game for teaching the word or preaching the word or praying for the sick. And that's what's brewing in my heart. That's the purpose that God has planted in my heart. Some of you have purpose and you're saying, well, I'm not in ministry. You don't have to be in ministry to have purpose.
Amen.
Right? Baby, if God called everybody to be in ministry, then
there'd be nobody here.
Thank you, Connie. There'd be nobody here. Right? How many of you are thankful you're not in ministry? You better be thankful. One of these days I might write a book of all my experiences in ministry. Ah, Lordy, have mercy. But I don't have the release of the Lord, so we'll just go on with it. What's that, brother?
It might be
a Mexican, a Mexico City bestseller, brother. I write it in Spanish.
Just don't mention any names.
No, never mention names. Back in 2019, I remember Connie. She was a nice lady. So purpose is what is in your heart. So I want to ask you a question. What is your calling? Where is your calling lie? We have discovered out of Scripture, have already proven, that purpose is what's percolating in your heart because God planted purpose in our hearts. Go with me to Exodus chapter 4 and we're going to see where calling lies. So far so good, everybody?
Yeah.
Exodus 4, please. I'll read a couple of verses. Verse 1, then Moses answered and said, remember this is the burning bush experience, the Lord is calling Moses, right? What did I just finish saying? The Lord is calling Moses, it's a calling. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice, suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is it that is in your what? What is it that is in your hand? Take note of this. Purpose is what lies in your heart. Calling is what lies in your hand. He has saved us with a holy calling according to the purpose for our life. Purpose is what's in your heart. Calling is what's in your hand. And you want to know, many of us live with a lot of purpose in our hearts. But you know why we don't live with calling, with a sense of calling or an understanding of our calling? Because what it lies in our hand is too ordinary. It's too ordinary. We think, what can God do with this? What can God do with, and what was in Moses' hand? Somebody tell me, it's the next part of the verse. His walking stick, a rod. Okay, so let's say, you know, I walked up to you, Miss Shirley, what's in your hand? Well, I've got a cane. And you say, you better behave, son, or else I can still walk you down, boy. And you're going to say, well, what good is a cane? Anybody ever say, look at your hand and say, I know I've done it many times. Looked at my hand. The Lord said, what's in your hand? I'm like, not much of anything. Who's ever done that? What's a walking stick? What's a rod? What's a cane? It helps me prop up. But notice what the Lord says to him. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And verse 3, and he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground. It became a what? A serpent. And Moses fled from it. Moses must have been Mexican. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Isn't that spectacular? Amen. Listen, baby, what's in your hand might look dumb, ordinary, insignificant, unimportant, but how many of you know in the hands of God, it is something potentially spectacular? Amen. Right? You know why we are more caught up with purpose than we are with calling? Because purpose is what's percolating in our heart. It is a mysterious longing. It sounds great. It is what makes us tick. It is what we live for. It is what we love in life. It is our passions. What's in your heart? Your passion, your love. So if I was to ask you, what is your love? What are your loves in life? Some of you will say, mine is music. I love music. Some of you are saying, you know, Brother Joe, I can spend hours and hours and hours just studying the Word of God. That would be me. That's my love. That's my passion. But some of us aren't passionate about what's in our hand because it looks too ordinary. What is a walking stick after all? But church family, the potential of what's in your hand, listen carefully, I'm going to say this way. A lot of people's purpose are not fulfilled because what's in your hand is actually what's going to lead you to what's in your heart. Did you get that? That's pretty profound. The Lord's asking you today, what is in your hand? Well, Joe, I remember one time asking, ministering that, and one young mother with kids, she said, oh gosh, I don't have anything in my hand. I'm a mother. I'm trying to keep head above water. I'm surviving. You know, I've got 3 small kids at home, and I feel like at the end of the day that my life is not worth much. I'm trying to raise these kids, and I told her, you know, but that's what's in your hand. That gal was looking at what was in her heart instead of what was in her hand. And what if what's in your hand, see, we don't see the end of what's in our hand. We are more gravitated to look at what's in our heart, at our purpose, instead of at our calling. What if the Lord wants to make of your children for these tireless days, or not tireless, tireless hours, and you're exhausted at the end of the day, pouring into the lives of your kids, but at the end of the day, down the road, they are mighty men and women of God. It's what's in your hand that's going to lead you to what's in your heart. There's no other way around it, church family. How did God deliver the Israelites? Don't you think that was in Moses' heart? What did he do 40 years prior to him fleeing to not only the desert, but the backside of the desert? He killed a man. He killed an Egyptian, didn't he?
For taking advantage of an Israelite.
That's right. Taking advantage, harassing, abusing an Israelite. Don't you think that was in Moses' heart? But he went about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, an Israelite apparently saw Moses doing that, because the following day there were 2 of them arguing. Moses tried to break it up. See, it was in his heart. And they said, wait a minute, you have no place to judge. We saw what you did yesterday. Moses was scared and he fled. 40 years later, here comes the Lord. Moses, you have a job to do. You have purpose. It's still in your heart. So let me give you a point. Listen, your purpose never goes away. You might say, well, I'm too old. Never goes away. Didn't it say that God set eternity, planted eternity? How long is your purpose lasting for? Eternity. See, some of us think that purpose is just for, you know, from the cradle to the grave. No, it's no. When did God give us the purpose? 2 Timothy 1:9 says, before when? Before time began. So if we can say it this way, eternity past, don't you think that that purpose is going to outlive your dying here on earth? You have an eternal purpose, not just a lifelong purpose. But church family, that purpose is going to go nowhere. It's going to sit latent in your heart, dormant in your heart, if you don't do anything with what's in your hand. Good teaching? It's good stuff, isn't it? Wasn't it that rod that God used to swallow up the serpents of the pharaohs, of the magicians? Pharaoh's magicians, right? I mean, they said, oh, we can do that trick. See, they had magical powers by the power of the devil. But what happened to the serpent that, or the staff that Aaron laid down? I said Aaron, it was Aaron who laid it down. What did it do to the other serpents?
He ate them up.
What did God use to part the Red Sea? A staff? You mean something ordinary that helped Moses walk? You know, Moses is up in age. What is he, about 80 years old? He needs a walking stick. And God uses that walking stick, that lifeless piece of wood, to part a Red Sea miraculously. Now take note of this, church family. After Moses begins to use what's in his hand, that rod is no longer referred to as the rod of Moses. It is referred to as the rod of God. I dare you to look it up in Scripture. It will no longer say this is the rod of Moses, this is the walking stick of Moses. It will say this is now the walking stick of God. Why? Because Moses chose to use what was in his hand. Let me give an illustration. How many of you have heard of Undercover Boss? How many of you watch it? I love watching it, and I'm bawling like a baby at the end of every episode, because, oh my gosh, some of these employees that are working tirelessly and hard for their boss, unbeknownst to them, their boss is like this in disguise, and at the end of the program, he rewards them for, you know, how, or she rewards them for how good they were, and gives them tens of thousands of dollars for their education, for a vacation, to take their family this and that, and I'm always in tears, always bawling. There was one episode that I watched that there was this guy that his, what was in his heart was to one day have a mission of feeding the homeless and feeding the poor. That's what was in his heart. He had expressed that in conversation to the boss who was in disguise. He didn't know it was the CEO of the company or the corporation that he was working for. He didn't know that. And so after, you know, he shared his dream, you know, I would love to have my own place where I can feed the poor, feed the homeless, feed those that are cast off in society. And you know what he was doing? He was volunteering at a local mission to help feed people. It was not his mission. It was somebody else's. It was his church's, actually. It was his church's mission, but he was volunteering. What is that volunteering at his church's mission called? It's called his calling. That's his calling. And by volunteering at his calling, at his mission, doing his calling, it'll eventually lead him to his what?
Purpose.
I wonder how many believers would not volunteer where they're at. They would not look at what's in their hand. They would just sit home and say, one of these days, one of these days, the Lord's going to bless me with, one of these days, I know I'm going to be head of this, or one of these days, I know I'm going to, and they're doing nothing with what's in their hand. You know, my middle daughter is in South Korea right now on a missions trip. That's when I said that, I'm sure some of you were like, wow, that's cool. Ooh, that's purpose. That's purpose. But I remember the nights that it was so hard to get that headstrong little girl to pay attention to the devotions that we gave them every night when I was tired, when I didn't feel like it, when I was emotionally drained. Oh, we have to do devotions. And I would tell my wife at the time, do we have to, can we just skip it tonight? I'm tired. And said, no, we're going to do them. Okay, so we did them. Here we were. What was I doing those all those nights? Trying to encourage them. Sending, when we sent them off to YWAM, Youth with a Mission, when we sent them off to all these different other places to expose them to manifestations of Christianity around the country. Why? That was, we were trying to do what was in our hand, which led to her being, having a passion for people across the globe. See it? What's in your hand? Well, I attend a small church, Joe. What can the Lord do with me? You're underestimating the Lord. How many of you know that? You're underestimating the Lord, man. Wow. The Lord can give you a worldwide platform. And maybe it's not about the world. Maybe it's about your world. Maybe the dreams that you have in your heart. You know, we just came off of a series of restoration. And I pray you're dreaming again. But baby, if you're just caught up with the dream and not doing something with what's in your hand, it's not going to go anywhere. So the Lord is asking all of us, what's in your hand? What do you have on your plate? What's in front of you now? Well, I don't like what's in front of me now. You know, Moses could have said, Lord, this is a rod, it's insignificant, go find somebody. He tried that. He tried. Moses tried that with the Lord. In fact, he even lied to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm of dumb speech. I can't speak well. I'm not eloquent. Acts chapter 7 says that he was trained with the best education in Egypt. He was mighty in speech. And he tells the Lord, Lord, I can't talk. I'm sure none of us have ever done that to the Lord. So anyway, just wanted to introduce this concept. Next week, we're going to talk about the reasons why we don't like what's in our hand. Good teaching, guys. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for this, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. That is a light, a lamp to our feet, Lord God. Help us to be faithful, be attentive, to take care of what's in our hand. Lord, help us not to be so enraptured with purpose that we don't do anything with calling. Lord, thank you that this mysterious longing that percolates the passions, the loves that we have in our heart can only come true, Lord, if we focus on what's in our hand. Help us to be faithful, Jesus. We pray in your name. Thank you for your blessing upon all of us. In Jesus' name, your name. Amen. Amen.